Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. And we're here for the next hour and 25 minutes, live radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman and Ray Pritchard will be back on in the coming days. But Fred Jackson's here with us. Good morning, Fred.
Yes, sir.
People may be wondering, don't I hear Ray and Walker more? Yes, you do. But Ray's developed a little bit of an attitude, and Walker's in timeout. So, you know, when they get an attitude adjustment, get their stuff straightened out, then we'll put them back on the show.
Right. Because our attitudes, man.
But you got to maintain discipline.
Yes, you do.
Got to maintain discipline.
And that's all. That's all tongue in cheek for the 10% of you out there who are listening, who are literalists.
Yes, writing notes.
Yes, he's just kidding. Walker has been neck deep in a huge project for AFA, and Brother Ray has been out teaching the Bible conferences and stuff. Because you know that's about right. 5 to 10% of people are literalists, and if you say Walker's in timeout, you're going to get a nasty note from them. Because our folks love Walker.
Take Walker out of timeout.
You bully.
You bully. All right. A lot to discuss today. And Ed, if folks want to join us on, as you call it, that their internet, how can they do that?
That their internets. Well, what you do is you go to either Facebook or YouTube. You can actually go to both if you'd like. And search for Today's Issues. And you can watch the program. Facebook, I know, looking at Brent Creeley now, our producer, we post the stories that we discuss on Facebook. Well, we don't do that for, like, YouTube. There's no place to post stories, is there?
No, just only on Facebook.
All right, so if people want to find out, read a little bit more about the stories we discuss, I think we try to get most of those up there on that their internet on Facebook.
And if you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Well, the Democrats got together last night. Where were they, Fred?
They were in Michigan last night. And I want to do a quick survey of our audience, if we can do that.
Okay.
How many watched the whole Democrat debate last night?
Raise your hand.
Hold on a second. I'm looking out across the country.
In radio.
No Georgia, no North Carolina, no. No Texas, no North Dakota. I don't think we had a one.
Not a one.
I don't think we had a one.
Which is why they depend upon us to get the highlights.
I did watch probably a full 15 minutes. I'm talking about consecutive. Because I was working on something and I didn't want to flip the TV. I didn't have time to reach the channel flipper. I probably would have turned it. But I did get about 15 minutes. So I got that much. You know? All right. And then I got the clips. And you're about to.
Yes.
But you're about to. For those who missed it, you got some highlights.
I got some highlights.
Some lowlights.
The lowlights. Now, just a reminder, last night was part A of a two-part saga called the Democrat Debate for July.
Let me look up definition of saga, but you go ahead.
And it was here's the way it kind of worked out, folks. So 10 on the stage, and two of them, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, represented the far, 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 far left. And the others, believe it or not, and I'm talking like Beto O'Rourke and Mayor Pete, they came off almost as the moderates. So I have...
He's gay.
Yes.
Mayor Pete.
Did you know that?
I heard.
But he never talks about it.
Talks about it. He does talk about his military service, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to talk about
that. We're just kidding. He always wants to make sure you know he's gay.
Yeah. All right, so here's some highlights. You may not recognize all the voices, and I had to get a program this morning to get identified with, you know, well, who's that? Because some of these
This is not Toy Story we're about to hear. This is the Democrat debate last night, boys.
You like what I said yesterday I about Mayor Pete. Sounds like a character from Toy Story.
I'm just saying, we're about to hear something on radio. We got to figure out where the voices come from, and you're wanting to make sure it's not the sheriff or the Buzz or something like that.
That's right. Buzz Lightyear.
All right.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry, Fred.
Here we go. Cut number one.
I think if we're going to force Americans to make these radical changes, they're not going to go along. You throw your hands up.
Every credible poll that I have seen has me beating Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton was winning in the polls, too.
We do not play into Donald Trump's hands.
But you are playing into Donald Trump's hand.
If we embrace a far-left agenda, they're going to say we're a bunch of crazy socialists. If we embrace a conservative agenda, they're going to say we're a bunch of crazy socialists. So let's just stand up for the right policy.
I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for.
I get a little bit tired of Democrats afraid of big ideas. So please don't tell me that we cannot take on the fossil fuel industry and nothing happens unless we do that.
All right. So, yeah, that music playing in the background did not play last night. This was part of a montage that Fox News put together this morning. That's why you're hearing that music in the background.
Right.
That was not part of the debate last
night. Yes, that was not a movie trailer for an upcoming movie of the anti-Avengers or something.
So you probably recognize two of the voices in that montage.
Yes. Well, Elizabeth Warren and
Bernie. And Bernie. Bernie was there.
Bernie. Bernie Sanders.
Don't tell me.
I comb my hair with a balloon.
What's the matter with that?
I want a balloon for every American.
Free balloons.
Free balloons.
Don't tell me we can't do that.
Under my plan, free balloons.
But I tell you what, it was, and I want to kind of break it down according to issues that they dealt with last night. One of the big ones, folks, was health care. And there were differences of opinion. Cut number two.
Why do we got to be the party of taking something away from people?
No one is the party.
Running on telling half the country that your health insurance is illegal.
Second of all, maybe you did that and made money off of health care, but our job is to run a nonprofit health care system.
We don't know that.
Second
Bernie.
Of all,
we'll come to you in a second,
I do know when I wrote the bill.
A Medicare for All program that will force people off of private insurance. I have a better path. Medicare for America.
Let's be clear about this. We are the Democrats. We are not about trying to take away health care from anyone. That's what the Republicans are trying to do.
You do not support Medicare for All. Is Senator Warren correct? Do you just not lack the will to fight for it?
That is incorrect. I just have a better way to do this.
I'm normally way over there with Bernie and Elizabeth on this one. I hear the others.
Who was that?
That last voice.
Is that Marianne Williams?
Yeah, Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, she was yodeling.
Not a wholesale name.
That's what I saw last night. Somebody said she sounded like she was. I wasn't original with me. Somebody said that
that's funny. She was yodeling. It did sound that like
play
that.
Play that again. Play her. Play Marianne. Is there Marianne?
Can't play just that one segment.
Okay. Marianne Williamson.
Yes.
From her greatest hits, Clay.
Well, wait a minute.
We
do have a cut from her.
We do?
Yeah. It's cut number six, Brent.
There is an injustice that continues to form a toxicity underneath the surface, an emotional turbulence
Ms.
that
Williamson,
only reparations will
Thank you
do.
Very much.
Do you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country? Then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days. I don't think the Democratic Party should be surprised that so many Americans believe yada, yada, yada. It is time for us to start over. You can't fight dog whistles. You have to override them. And the only way you can override them is with new voices, something emotional and psychological that will not be emerging from anything on this stage.
And now pass the mashed potatoes.
Okay, now I have an accusation to make here. We're not going to play that whole thing, but go ahead and start it, and I'll tell you when to stop it. Replay
that. As I speak, I'm going to ask
the
white Americans.
No, the one that we just played with Marianne Williamson.
Oh, the second one.
We just played. Yeah.
There is an injustice that continues to form a toxicity underneath the surface, an emotional turbulence
Ms.
that
Williamson,
only reparations
Thank
will
you
do.
Very much.
Do you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force?
Stop it right there. Dark psych. She stole that from Star Wars. That is right.
Are you being serious?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
But that dark psychic force, that's right out of Star Wars lore.
She's saying that's what President Trump represents.
She may be Emperor Palpatine in disguise. I'm telling you, dark psychic force. Use the force, Marianne. Use the force.
You know what? Is she getting any traction at all? She
got traction last night because she was so weird. She was Googled a lot because a lot of people don't, you know, who is this woman?
She claims, if you've got a claim that I am not a New Age nut, you might be a New Age nut.
She made her money and off selling books and tapes having to do with
New Age self help.
Yep.
Spirituality.
But wasn't it A Course in Miracles or something like that? Or is that somebody else?
I'm going to look that up. A Course in Miracles. I don't think that was her.
Okay, but that was kind of stuff. Maybe that was somebody. Anyway, became very popular writing New Age kind of material. She's Oprah Winfrey's spiritual guide. I'm serious. That's what I read on that there internet.
Okay.
Well, find out what Marianne Williamson.
In Miracles was a 1976 book by Helen Schuckman.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got my.
And it became no, but it's very close. She was also. Marianne Williamson did discuss the book on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Discuss what book?
This textbook for a course in miracles.
Okay,
I'm trying to catch up to this here.
Yeah, go ahead. Find out what she's famous for, if you would. And Fred
Marianne Allen. Williamson, you mean?
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. So she's running as a presidential candidate on the Democrat side. She hasn't been able to crack into the top tier.
I think that the last time we will see her was last night.
You really? You think so? Okay.
Well, because of more restrictions for the next debate in September, you got to pull above 1%, and that's not going to happen, I don't think, with Marianne Williamson.
Okay, so she's an American author, lecturer, activist. She has written 13 books, including 4 New York Times number one bestsellers.
Yeah, I mean, she's very popular out there with a lot of Americans. I mean,
Healing the Soul of America is, I guess, one of her most popular. So, but not A Course in Miracles, I don't guess. But she is New Agey.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, as I say, last night, one of the big items had to do with healthcare, but there was kind of great division on the stage. And that came between John Delaney, who was a Democrat congressman from Maryland. He's one of the candidates, and Bernie Sanders. And that they went at each other over this whole idea of Medicare for all versus, come on, do you really want to get rid of the private sector in healthcare insurance, et cetera? Cut number 4.
The bill that Senator Sanders drafted, by definition, will lower quality in healthcare because it says specifically that the rates will be the same as current Medicare rates. And the data is clear. Medicare does not cover the cost of healthcare. It covers 80% of the cost of healthcare in this country. And private insurance covers 120%. So if you start underpaying all the healthcare providers, you're going to create a two-tier market where wealthy people buy their healthcare with cash, and the people who are forced, like my dad, the union electrician, will have that healthcare plan taken away from him.
Thank you, Congressman.
They will be forced into an underfunded system.
I want to give Senator Sanders a chance to respond.
All right. On the Medicare for all, the hospitals will save substantial sums of money because they're not going to be spending a fortune doing billing and the other bureaucratic things that they have to do today. Second of all, maybe you did that and made money off of healthcare, but our job is to run a nonprofit healthcare system.
Listen, his math is wrong. That's all I'm saying. I'm starting to think this is not about healthcare.
Who's saying that?
That's John Delaney. This is anti-private sector. Those were the last words there.
Yeah.
And then John Delaney was invited on Fox and Friends this morning to expand on why he's against Bernie's Medicare for All.
Who is he?
John Delaney is a former Democrat congressman from Maryland.
Okay.
All right. Cut number 5, Brent.
If you take what they're saying to an extreme, what's next? Free vacations?
you know, free housing, free everything. I mean, at some point we do have to pay for these things. I mean, I think they either vote for someone who wants to actually solve problems and has ideas that are workable, they tell the American people how we're going to pay for it and how we're going to get them done, or do we nominate someone who's got a bunch of fairy tale economics or impossible promises, none of which will ever happen. So that's the problem with the extreme left of the party. When you point out obvious flaws in the things they're talking about, they say, well, that's a Republican talking point. And I'm like, no, it's actually a fact.
Yeah, I understand President Trump called him this morning and offered him a job as a Republican. Because that's what he sounded like on Fox and Friends this morning. He was basically calling out Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders as being far left wing nuts.
He's in the wrong party.
He's in the wrong party the now. Wrong,
yes, he is.
But now,
but he could have been in the Democratic Party 10 years ago.
Sure.
15 years ago.
Sure.
But your point, they've gone so far to the left, you can't even have a Democratic candidate saying, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah.
What an absurd place to be in if you're the Democratic Party.
Can you imagine? That's just where we are with the Democrats.
Because that's what Elizabeth Warren, I guess she was talking about him,
mm-hmm.
John Delaney, when she said, I don't know why you'd want to run for president if you want all you want to say is what we can't do.
Yeah.
Well, what John Delaney is saying, well, man, with all due respect, you're promising things you know good and well you can't do.
Yeah, exactly. Or
good for him.
You're not being honest with the American public when it comes to costing these things out.
Right.
You heard Bernie Sanders there a minute ago in his debate with John Delaney. Bernie Sanders said, oh, we're going to save all kinds of money because you're not going to have hospitals sending out bills. Well, that's a minor portion of the cost.
What does that mean? You're not going to have hospitals sending out bills.
I guess he's talking about all the paperwork that hospitals have to do, but my goodness, you can't out-paperwork the federal government.
That's
right. You're
going
to have Medicare for Medicaid.
Okay, let me ask you this. Bernie Sanders here and Elizabeth Warren, for example, they're saying Medicare for all, right?
Mm-hmm. Including illegals.
Medicaid, right?
Medicare. Well,
is it?
It's Medicare for all.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're going to expand the program for elderly Americans to cover everyone?
Cover everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to pay for my – okay, when I had my car wreck a year and a half ago, May, and I had emergency surgery, and I had this – extraordinary doctor who was a specialist in internal mm-hmm. trauma. Okay. My insurance covered that, right?
Yes. Yes.
It was, I didn't look at the bill, but I'm sure it was very expensive.
Yes.
But you know, you don't find doctors that can do that kind of thing at Walmart standing in line 10 deep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they're getting paid for their expertise.
Yes.
And their 10 years of going to school and everything. My point is, under Bernie Sanders' plan or Elizabeth Warren's plan, who's going to pay for that?
Well, it's really interesting you ask that, Tim, because Bernie Sanders keeps referring to Canada, socialized medicine in Canada. And here's what they don't tell you, these Democrats. Let's use Canada as an example. I come from there, so I'm a little bit familiar with how it all works. What they do up there in socialized medicine is basically you put doctors on a limited amount of money that they can make. Same with hospitals.
Why?
Why does that? Well, because that's the only way to keep socialized medicine costs down.
Well,
What happens. Doctors have to put a limit on how many patients they can take.
Right.
That's what happens. Hospitals shut down on the weekend sometimes because they're low on their budget. So they tell patients, go somewhere else. Also, what Bernie doesn't tell you, prescription medication in Canada. My mom, before she passed away less than a year ago, she was paying $300, $400 a month for medication out of her pocket, out of her limited pension. So Bernie doesn't like to talk about the reality of socialized medicine.
Let me tell you something, too. And a lot of Canadians come to the U.S. for treatment, right?
Yes, sir, they do.
Okay. Let me tell you what's going to happen here if you have the government take over our healthcare system in a way that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are talking about, and the Democrat Party, many in the Democrat Party are advocating for this so-called single-payer system. Now, I don't know whether they would allow in their plan for people to go out and purchase private insurance in addition to?
Well,
or not?
Here's what happened.
Go ahead. Excuse me for asking that question because and it was a great question. but I was making this point. That doctor I told you about who went to school for 10 years and knows how to operate on the insides of a person in an emergency traumatic situation.
Right.
An ER doctor like that. That guy is, or lady, as the case may be, they are very smart people. Okay. Right. That's the reason they can go to medical school and learn to do these things. And they're very smart people. If they are 18 or 22 years old in school trying to decide what they want to do with their career, with their life, and they say, you know what, I could go into medicine and be a doctor and operate on people in emergency rooms and help save lives, but I'm going to be limited by the government on how much I can make. And it's going to be a bunch of paperwork. It's going to be government controlled. I'm not going into that field. I'm going to either move to some other country or I'm going to do something else with my life. Because why? Because these people are already very smart. They can do a lot of different things.
Right.
Okay. They have a lot of different options. So if that happens on a mass scale, and I don't see why it wouldn't, because people are incentivized by money. They are. Now, I'm not saying people are incentivized by a heart calling to do something that you love. Yes, people are incentivized by that too, but they're also incentivized by money. And if you have a mass control of the medical field by the federal government, those really, really smart people who would make excellent doctors are going to decide to do something else. And you know what? I'm going to get the B-plus guy. I'm just saying that I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying that it's going to overall and over time, it's going to greatly diminish the quality of medical care in this country. Same for nurses.
Yes.
For that matter. Does that make sense, what I'm talking about here?
No, it does. Yeah. And here's a question I have, too. Now, this is just an honest question. It's not a criticism of these plans. But if to incentivize doctors to go to medical school and take 10 years, if the government
and
says—
And rack up $150,000 in medical bills.
That's what I'm getting at. If the government says, we'll let you do that, we'll pay for your schooling to incentivize you, then you're going to have the government saying, yeah, but— You can go, Tim, but Fred, you're not going because we've got to control. We're going to decide who gets to go because we're paying for it. Mm-hmm. I got to think you're going to have some of that.
Wow, really?
Don't you think? If you're going to if everybody can get a free ride to medical school, I think it increases the number of people who are going to take a shot. The government's paying for it, so
well,
I'm going to go.
You got a point.
And so then the government begins to say, "Well, we're not going to let you. We're going to." And other socialized societies, they do that. They tell people what track you can take.
And on the patient side of this, and we'll come back after the break, Abraham Hamilton III will be with us. Maybe we can talk more about this with him. But on the patient side of this, what they don't tell you with socialized medicine or single payers, the Democrats are calling it government, what do they call it, Medicaid for all or whatever?
Medicare.
Is that the government will pay for your operation or your doctor's visit, but guess what? In return, they tell you what doctor you're going to go to.
That's right.
And they tell you when your appointment is.
That's right.
Huh? So you're saying, I'm in pain. My hip's killing me. I need to see a doctor. And it's July now, 30th today, 31st, whatever it is. You know what they're going to say? Well, Mr. Wildman, we got an appointment in December.
Right.
We'll schedule you then.
That's why people come from Canada to the U.S.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our tour of the Holy Land in March, one of the places we'll stop is called the House of Caiaphas. This is the place where Jesus experienced the mock trial in front of the Sanhedrin that you read about in the Bible before he was taken to Pilate. He was actually held there in that house. We go there. We visit there. We see where that was. And then right beside the house are steps that date back to the time of Christ. They're stone steps that date back to the time of Christ. Those were the very steps that Jesus walked from the Garden of Gethsemane as he was brought to this mock trial at the House of Caiaphas. That's just one of the places we'll visit in March on our Holy Land tour. For all the information on this March 12th through the 20th trip, go to twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Walking in another person's shoes. That story coming up.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
Carrie Jernigan of Alma, Arkansas, was in a Payless shoe source the other day, back to school shopping. Her daughter asked if she might be able to buy a pair of shoes for a classmate. A good many folks in that part of the country don't have much money, certainly not enough for a new pair of shoes, and that got Mrs. Jernigan to thinking. As the clerk rang up her purchases, Mrs. Jernigan asked how much it would cost to buy every shoe in the store. Payless is going out of business, all sales final. Long story short, Payless made Mrs. Jernigan a great deal. And 12 hours later, she walked out of the store with nearly 1,500 pairs of shoes. Word spread around town, and soon others joined the cause, donating thousands of dollars to buy even more shoes, not to mention socks and backpacks. A good deed started at Payless, now paid forward. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. American Family Radio. We're on the web at afr.net. Our Facebook for this program is just Today's Issues. You can go there and watch the show. We post the stories that we talk about. You can engage with the other listeners. And you say hello for us, don't you, every day, Brent?
Yes, sir.
To folks who watch and listen on Facebook or YouTube as well. You're listening to Today's Issues. Hey, quickly, we're going to Israel. By we, I mean Allison, my wife, and I. We're leading our annual tour to Israel in March, and so we're over halfway full already. So if you want to go with us, you want to check out all the information on the trip, we're, again, be going in March, just go to the website twholyland.com. Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Jericho, every day we're going to places that you see in the Bible mentioned often.
I've got to do that.
Nazareth,
Sea
of Galilee, Jordan River. You have to go with us sometime, Abe. It's wonderful. So go to the website, twholyland.com, and you can see the itinerary and everything there on the trip. And unfortunately, there's no plan by Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren to cover your cost.
going with us to Israel. So it's still going to come right out of your checkbook.
If you free want. Free trips to the Holy Land. free trips. It's all
you
right.
You know what? I am not one to say that certain accents annoy me. because I'm sure I annoy some people. I don't think I have a quote distinct Southern accent that's annoying, but who can self-critique their own accent, right? So but I must say, to borrow from Sandy, I must say that I could not take 4 years of Bernie Sanders talking. I just couldn't. I would have to get some earphones or some earplugs, I guess I should
May
say.
May play some oldies.
No,
from
I would
the
be using. I would be using the mute button on my. I mean, am I the only one here who?
I think it probably would get old. Yeah, I can see where it would get old.
Or would you get desensitized?
You remember Fran Drescher, the actress?
Yes.
Played on some show. She had that real obnoxious
nasal.
Yeah, nasally New York accent. Yeah, that it's funny for a 30-minute sitcom. I never watched it, but I
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but for 4 years,
imagine Bernie's State of the Union address. Stop and think about that for a second.
Congress.
I'll say a couple things about Bernie Sanders. One is he is a true believer. He is a man of conviction.
Yes,
I will
is.
Give him that. I don't think he's
for years he has. I
don't think he's a phony, okay, or pandering for votes. I think he really believes in socialism / communism, mm-hmm. and he thinks that's a panacea for the world.
Right.
And he wants to bring it to America. You know, so he's been trying his whole life, and now is his moment. Actually, his moment was 4 years ago, but he got ripped off by Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
He's going to build a bridge from Miami to Havana.
A bridge?
I wouldn't be surprised. All right. Abraham Hamilton III is with us. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Hey, by the way, I've been listening to your show in the afternoons from 5 to 6 o'clock here on AFR. Great show, great content. But, brother, you're going to have to work up some passion because you're sounding like NPR, like 11 o'clock at night. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to help you, okay?
I appreciate
it. So if you need me to work with you so that you can sound energetic, passionate, and engaging, then we can do that, okay?
Thank you.
For all you literalists out there.
If you got to explain it, it's not funny. Okay, let them believe it, Ed.
Yeah, all right.
Let them believe it. Hey, we were talking about what the Democrats are advocating, and I know there are variations among the Democratic candidates, but for the most part, the Democrat Party is promoting what we were talking about earlier, socialized medicine, which is beyond what we have today with Medicare and Medicaid. We already have, to a certain extent, people would say that's socialized medicine, and okay. I would say government involvement in medicine, we do have that to an extent. But what we're talking about with the Democrats is beyond Obamacare. It's they want to take over, basically, the healthcare system in America in the name of, here's what they would tell you, and in the name of providing healthcare for everybody, because as Bernie Sanders says, Abe, it's a, quote, basic human right, end of quote. So where's this going?
It's insane, and the thing that distinguishes what they want from what we have now is that there will be no alternatives. This is the only way you get to...
You mean they wouldn't allow for private insurance?
No, it would be the elimination of
I can't imagine even Democrats being for that across the country who vote.
And in fact, it's not popular among all Democrats. It's not. It's not even a winner among all Democrats. But, and this is a point I'm going to make, it just goes to show that when... constitutionalists and conservatives have been saying that their interest is not even in what the American people want. It is their interest in telling you what you should want because you ignorant plebeians don't know how to conduct your own affairs. And one of the things that I find to be one of the most galling admissions from all of the conversations, and John Delaney hit on this during the debate last night, that when you talk about Medicare for all, or in Bernie speak, Medicare for all,
that was good for a guy from New Orleans. He grew up in New England. I mean, he. But you just
I had
wow.
a head start.
Yeah.
What they have conveniently omitted is that all medical health services would be reimbursed at the Medicare rates. Mm. Now, what that means, and John Delaney hit on this, is that all of the expenses that doctors' offices and hospitals have today, they would not have the benefit of private profit. And so what you're going to find, the results of that will be the elimination of jobs. Doctors' offices won't be able to stay open at Medicare reimbursement rates. Hospitals won't be able to stay open at Medicare reimbursement rates. So you're going to have the combination, as you mentioned before the break, I heard you mention the long wait times when the government determining when you get your doctor's appointments, what doctors you get to go and see, and how much they'll be willing to pay for it. In addition to that, what they're not telling you is that you're going to have a dearth of medical health providers. So that's going to compound the wait times, compound the inability to access those professionals. And oftentimes proponents of Medicare for All say, what good is health insurance if you can never use it? Well, what good is Medicare for All if it takes 6 months to get to a doctor for ailing hip, and by the time you get there, you know, you can't walk, the ailing hip goes into something else. And it's just, it's a disaster waiting to happen. And to see that Bernie Sanders' vision, which in 2017, he didn't have any co-sponsors on the Medicare for All Act, now it's become the mainstream political policy position for people who want to be president.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Well, and there's another element to this too, is that the older the patient becomes, there is an assessment made as to, is it worth spending money on cancer treatment for George, who's 85 years old?
That's right. George is reduced to a tax commodity.
That's right.
To where the cost-benefit analysis will be conducted. Well, how much will it cost to give George the cancer treatment? George is 85. How many years can we expect him to pay taxes into the system? If that doesn't come out actuarially, George won't get his cancer treatment. He'll get a pain management pill and say, George, you just have to suck it up until you croak.
Yeah.
Well, because you also may have Bill, who's 45 years old, and you say, I think these assets would be better, more well spent on Bill at 45 than George at 85. Also, what was the figure? There was some figure put on the Medicare for All under Sanders. Was it? Did I hear 40 trillion?
Well, it cost, I think it was 32 trillion over 10 years.
All right. So we're talking huge amounts of money.
That is an extremely conservative estimate.
Of course, because these things always balloon. I just wanted to mention too that we mentioned this John Delaney, which I had never heard of him until we started talking about last night's debate. But he says, and this is an article on The Atlantic about the debate last night, and he said one of the arguments has been about, and it was at the debate last night, that Medicare for All generally pays doctors and hospitals less than private insurance companies do. And so what some people will have said in defending that, some hospitals would do worse under Medicare for All, some would do better. This article says, but Delaney insisted tonight that all the hospital administrators he's spoken with have said they would close if they were paid at the Medicare rate for every bill.
Yep.
Now, we're talking about a seismic shock to the medical industry in this country if this kind of thing is passed. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine saying, what do you mean? I got to drive 300 miles to a hospital that's still open?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a catastrophe for this country.
And one of the things that really drives me nuts is when people like Bernie Sanders in the debate last night said, Canada pays half of our costs in health insurance. They have 30 million people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have 330 million people.
Right.
So for 30 million people to pay half of what 330 million people pay, what Bernie Sanders is admitting, although he doesn't realize it, is that it's way more expensive.
Yes.
Because if it costs half of a bill for a family of four to eat out, and a family of two is paying half of what a family of five or whatever will pay out. Y'all get the metaphor I'm trying to do. I'm not doing a good job of it. But you get the point I'm making.
This is the kind of energy you need to bring to your 5 o'clock show.
Ed and I'll work with you.
Yeah, we'll work with you.
Go to lunch today, lay out a plan.
I'll try.
Afternoon at 3, get together, do a little mock show. We're kidding, folks. Abe
has that passion.
Abraham Hamilton III. Abe's on with the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock Central Time, right here on AFR. You were going to say, Fred?
Just one more thing on this Medicare for All. Kamala Harris has modified since the last debate.
She's on tonight, right?
She'll be on tonight.
She modified?
And I'm warning you right now. What she's going to say is, I'm not for Medicare at all. I'll allow the private sector, but here's what you don't know was in her plan. She will regulate the private sector according to federal government rules. So she's it's a bait and switch, folks.
Right.
She's saying she's going to allow private insurance to still sell insurance. But what she's saying is they're going to have to live up to the Medicare standards.
And you're not going to have private companies doing it.
Exactly.
And what she'll be able to say is, well, yeah, we offered it.
Yes.
I tell you what, I just think this is a big loser for the Democrats if they don't if they get somebody out there who's promoting this Medicaid for all. Is it Medicaid or
Medicare?
Medicare for all, and these kinds of socialist takeovers of single payer. I just think it's a loser. Still, as I would agree that the American people probably have moved. They're not quite as dismissive of government involvement in medical care as maybe they were a few years back. But then going this far, this right. is not going to. Obamacare is about as far as people want to go. I think, and even the Democrats lost huge numbers in the House of Representatives after Obamacare right. was passed. Now, let's change topics here for just a minute. Abe, something else big happened late yesterday afternoon, and it didn't get the news coverage, I guess because of the Democrat debate, or either Marianne Williamson...
dark psychic energy.
Used her psychic of light, I guess she would say.
To combat the... dark psychic energy.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that more. What happened?
Well, can I have that?
You can, sir.
Yeah. So what? And this headline says this is interesting. The judge dismisses DNC hacking lawsuit against Trump team, saying its claims are entirely divorced from the facts. So you have a DNC outfit filing a lawsuit saying that somehow, in some way, Trump is responsible or involved with the DNC's loose password protections and trying to sue him for it.
Right.
It's I can't believe a lawyer filed their name, signed their name to a petition saying that. To have a judge smack them down and a judge comes out and says, well, your petition is entirely divorced from the facts.
That was a quote right there.
That's a quote.
Now, this, keep in mind, folks, what we're talking about here, the Democrat National Committee, that's what Abe's, the DNC, they went to federal court to sue President Trump, and several others were named in this. And they were accusing President Trump and his team of being of illegally disseminating the information that was obtained from the WikiLeaks.
Well, WikiLeaks mm-hmm. published it.
Mm-hmm. Right. WikiLeaks. You remember, folks, all those emails were hacked. The DNC's email server was hacked into, or it was an inside job. We don't know exactly yet.
And I think hacked it is an overblown statement. It's because
well, that's
someone
true.
Outside of the Podesta's DNC got access to their passwords.
Podesta's password was password. If you remember that. It was.
It was P at symbol SS word.
Right. So they were quote hacked, and I can imagine that conversation at dinner going, you're not going to believe what happened today. What happened? I was hacked. Well, how'd they get your password? What is your password? Well, it's password. Okay, anyway, it sounded like a comedy skit or something. But remember that? All that was... That's how we learned that they were cheating Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
The DNC mm-hmm. was cheating Bernie right. Sanders, and that was all discovered and put out there. And WikiLeaks published it. And, well, the DNC went to federal court to say, well, Trump used it.
And so, they sued WikiLeaks as well.
Yeah. So a federal judge yesterday afternoon appointed by President Bill Clinton.
In New York City.
He's the one who said basically this is a frivolous lawsuit. I'm throwing it out.
The wording was strong yeah. in this.
He said President Trump and his campaign did not participate in any wrongdoing in obtaining the materials in the first place, that the entire allegations are divorced from the facts.
And even said that WikiLeaks because of First Amendment protections, that because this is information that the American people, it's important for them to know it. Once it had been hacked, use of a better word, and sent over to WikiLeaks, then they had every right under the First Amendment to publish it. Now, we still, to your point, Tim, and Abe, if you have any comments on this, we still don't know how it was hacked. As far as I know now, the DNC never allowed the FBI.
That's what I was just about to say.
So go ahead, explain that.
That's what I was just about to say. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're so concerned about illegal, nefarious activity happening with your email servers, well, why not submit it to the FBI to allow them to get to the root of the problem as to who it was that illegally accessed your email servers? That still to this date, as we stand on July 31st in the year of our Lord 2019, has not occurred. The DNC has never allowed the FBI to evaluate their servers so they can do, you know, the type of things you happen in this digital age. You can track the IP addresses of individuals who remotely access your email servers. They refuse to allow the FBI
now,
to do that.
Why do you think that is?
That's a great question. I don't know factually, but I can speculate. I will speculate that I think they know that it wasn't President Trump. They know potentially it's either an inside job or they're embarrassed to have it revealed that Podesta's password was password and that it wasn't a hack.
Could it be that it wasn't Russians?
Yes.
That's what I think.
That's the biggest
let me tell you
speculation
something here.
Is that no Russian involvement whatsoever.
Okay, what we're about to talk to just for a couple of minutes is speculation, and it sounds like something out of a John Grisham novel. Okay, or another great novelist. But it is something that the mainstream media doesn't talk about. Maybe Sean Hannity did a time or two, and I think he was shut down by Fox News. So, but I have to ask the question. You have to look at this thing. This gentleman who was murdered in a supposed robbery. Okay, his name was Seth Rich, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, he was murdered in Washington, D.C. at 4 o'clock in the morning, if I remember correctly, leaving, I don't know where he was leaving from.
I think it was his girlfriend's apartment.
Okay. He was supposedly the victim of a robbery gone bad, right?
Right.
But his wallet, nothing was stolen from his body, from his person. So, he worked for the DNC, is that true?
Yes.
And he worked in tech? Was he in tech?
I believe so.
I'm
not
check.
Certain.
You keep telling the
story. Okay. And he was a Bernie Sanders?
He was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Okay, I'm going to leave it right there.
Leave it right there?
I'm leaving it right there. I'm just saying. I'm going to leave it right there.
And the emails that came out revealed, for example, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was head of the DNC at the time, completely tilted all of the superdelegates, all of the funding, all of the resources, all of the votes towards Hillary Clinton, regardless of the outcome of the primaries, which Barry Sanders were winning many of them, that it revealed how there were debate questions funneled to the Clinton campaign to frustrate and to overtake Bernie Sanders. The revelations from the internal emails was that the DNC as an institution, as an organization, were completely in the tank for Hillary Clinton no matter what their voters did. Mm-hmm. That is what was learned as a result of internal DNC emails being revealed to the American public. That is what we all learned. And so Seth Rich, a Bernie Sanders supporter, and everybody knows that the Sanders supporters were very upset that Hillary Clinton was the nominee regardless of their will. And then you have this happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what he did beginning in 2014, he began working for the Democratic National Committee, the
DNC.
Seth
Rich, you're talking about?
Seth Rich, as the voter expansion data director. One of his tasks at the DNC was the development of a computer application to help voters locate polling stations. I'm reading off the Wikipedia page.
How old was he when he passed?
He.
Does it say?
I'm sure it does. I would just have to find
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I think he was in his 30s.
27-year-old.
Okay.
27-year-old. Now, we do need to be fair. We do need to say that law enforcement rejected the kind of conspiracy we're talking about. So I want to make sure that our listeners understand that. But to me, that's a big so what, because it to me, this looks very suspicious what
I'm
happened.
Just, yeah, we're not... you know, something that serious, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be a conspiracy theory theorist just for entertainment value or whatever that may be. I'm just saying, if you look at all the facts of the situation here regarding this gentleman, and all that's happened, and all we learned, it does make you wonder, was foul play involved with his demise? That's all I'm saying.
And well, I would say, especially in light, and I don't want to go too far in cuckoo bird land, but especially in light of the history, it seems that people who have pertinent information that seemingly is damaging for the Clintons,
that kind of
they
thing
come up missing.
That kind of thing has followed them.
I mean,
is that true?
That is, people who have information that has been damaging toward the Clintons have met with similar outcomes. I can't prove what happened.
I just think the whole thing could be put to rest if the DNC would allow the FBI to get to the root cause of the hacking.
Yeah,
would think in all of this investigation of collusion and Russian involvement, why wouldn't that have been a part of the Mueller investigation?
I have the answer to that. Because Mueller had 15 Democrat lawyers.
Dun, 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 dun.
And you're not going to find something else if you don't look.
Well, and to me, the whole idea of Russian interference was cooked up to... Now, maybe they tried doing some things. I've read all kinds of things about bots, you know, and from Russia putting out false information. I hear all that stuff. The Chinese do. Everyone's doing that kind of thing. All right? But... to me, you cook up the Russian the Russia story. You don't want to do anything to damage that story. And if the Russians were not the ones who hacked the DNC to get these emails to Wikipedia, if it was an inside job, even if it wasn't Seth Rich, if it was some other disgruntled DNC employee who was tired of seeing the Clinton campaign get the jump on Bernie Sanders, you don't want to release that either, because that undercuts the whole Russia scheme. Then it wasn't the Russians. It was dissension amongst Democrats.
You know, I think everything we've talked about here today is reasonable. I mean, it's just looking at the dots and going, this one leads to this one, leads to this one. And why did this happen the way it did? Why didn't this happen? Why the Democrat National Committee would file a lawsuit against President Trump and some others about the WikiLeaks emails that came out.
I think they're just they're throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks.
I know, but why you would go to federal court, it's ironic that it was a Clinton judge that slapped them down.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. But I got to tell you, you would go to a lawsuit complaining about that, but yet you don't want the FBI to tell you who hacked your computers.
Well, listen, I just think, and then Abe jump in. I think you do that. You go to a Clinton-appointed judge to get the judge to say, yes, you can sue President Clinton President Trump, because I think President Trump colluded with the Russians. It bolsters the story can get a judge to pull that off.
But a Bill Clinton appointed federal judge slapped
the
Democrat National Committee down fully and completely yesterday. They can't even file an appeal. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's done.
He said you can, but you've changed this up and reconfigured it so many times. You have not done anything to cure the underlying problem with your lawsuit.
That was from a Democrat. That's from Bill Clinton, federal judge.
It's about time.
It's been a total complete witch hunt. That's what President Trump uses.
Right.
I hate to say it, but I think it's even worse than a witch hunt. I think they knew from the onset that it wasn't.
All right, you're going to have to defend that. Can you stay
a
few more minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.